Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, new rule, on Fridays we roll, broadcasting live from River City Roll here in Scott Edition. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. Pizza's banging, the wings are good, and you got to take advantage of the heated patio during these winter months. Joining us right now, it's Michael Phillips for a segment we call Crosstalk on The Fan.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on The Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on The Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
All right, we got Michael with us here. Michael, what is the top of your sports viewing list for this weekend?
Well, we got two locals tomorrow. We got Virginia Tech football at noon, and then you have VCU basketball in the evening. But I'll probably be channel surfing because you got some, you know, Georgia Tech Pitt. I think is going to be a fun game. We'll learn maybe who UVA will play in the ACC title game if they beat the Hokies, which I think is not a given. As you know, I think that'll be a competitive football game. And then you know I'm all in on Chiefs Colts, the last gasp of Patrick Mahomes here this season, last chance.
Absolutely. So, Jeremy, we have placed a bet on this game that will affect your breakfast. If
that's correct,
the Kansas City Chiefs only win by 3, you get breakfast provided by Michael Phillips. If the Chiefs lose, I have to provide breakfast. And if the Chiefs win by 2.5 or less, Michael will be providing the breakfast.
Oh, I think I'm on Michael's side here. I think the Colts might win this one.
Oh, Jeremy, would you like to double this bet and make it extra juicy? Because, you know, we could take a breakfast bet and make it a Taco Tuesday as well.
I can do that.
Ooh.
All right, explain to me why you are taking the Colts over the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. The AFC runs through Kansas City. Their backs are against the wall. This is absolutely their last stand. They're 4-1 at home this season. Their defense is criminally underrated. Why are you taking Indiana Jones?
The Chiefs can't run the ball. They just can't run the ball right now, and I think Jonathan Taylor is enough of a difference maker that they'll be able to pull this one out.
I love that the Colts are coming off the bye. I think that's an underrated factor in the NFL. Teams coming off the bye have success. They're coming off the bye. Chiefs got beat up last week at altitude in Denver. I think the Colts are advantageous here in a couple of different ways.
I like how my producer didn't listen to me, owed me money, owed me breakfast, left, and now a new producer comes in, doesn't listen to me, gonna owe me breakfast, gonna owe me money.
They'll never learn.
I love that you're doing this, Jeremy. I love it so much. Let's put some tacos on the line here. I got the Chiefs -2.5. I'm so confident about this bet. I mean, Jerry, do you want to host a whole segment next week if you win this? You can name your price. It's not happening.
All right, I'm willing to take that. I'll do whatever.
J Money Radio, let's go.
All Michael, we also said that we were both interested in this Eagles-Cowboys game here. And, you know, from what you've seen with Philadelphia this season, how surprised would you be if the Cowboys won?
Well, the only surprise here is that the Eagles keep winning, because all indications are that nobody there likes each other. Everything keeps falling apart. The offense isn't rolling, and yet, oh, you look at the record. Oh, yeah, they're atop the standings. So the only surprise is how successful they've been so far. In the lead-up to every game this year, it seems the storyline has been, well, obviously the Eagles aren't going to win this one. And then they win that game. Kind of, the Chiefs had those vibes last year where they kept pulling the rabbit out of the hat despite not being any good. And there's so much talent there. It's hard for me to pick against the Eagles. This is a smelly line. I think the Eagles should be way more than 3-point favorites. What I don't know is that my indication to go running into the burning building, or is that Vegas telling me, don't be an idiot, pick the Cowboys?
Yeah, I would pick the Eagles. I just think, like, Dallas gave Philly their best shot week one, and they were still losing at halftime 21-20, and then got blanked the entire second half and lost 24-20. Like, they came out swinging. They were on fire to start that game and still were trailing at the break here. I just think Philly's defense is going to make the plays in this one, and Dallas's defense will give up too many explosive plays.
Yeah, it's a great point, because I don't think either team has fundamentally changed since that game. You can say Cowboys have had some time to adjust to not having Micah Parsons, but the adjustment is they don't have Micah Parsons, right? They have good players, but it seems to me, looking at this on paper, both teams are fundamentally the same teams that played in that game. I've got the same read on this that you did. The things that happened in that game probably weren't flukish. You know, the Eagles, it was close, and then they pulled away because they're the better team. I think on paper, you'd guess that's going to happen again.
Michael, over to the Washington Commanders, who are on the bye this week, but every day at 1 p.m. we talk about the Commanders on the Richmond Commander, and our question today will be, of the 22 starters offensively and defensively, how many deserve to be starters next season of the 22?
Ooh, I like that. Is there anybody you're going to bounce on the offensive line of the five of them? Or are you going to keep the O-line?
I'm keeping the O-line, but they've been very disappointing, right? And so there have to be questions. Like, should Brandon Coleman be back in? What do you do about Cosme? Like, the Cosme thing is so interesting, right? Because I think we both agree, in any other sport, he would have to work his way back in the lineup. In the NFL, they're like, nope, just throw him into the starting lineup. He had that game where he completely whiffed on a key third down. I do not like what I've seen from Cosme, and he's supposed to be our best offensive lineman.
But is that on him, or is that on the staff for throwing him back in too soon after a very major injury he sustained in January of this year? I think that's questions about, you know, them rushing him back potentially more than questions about his fitness. And, you know, it's possibly just not going to be himself this year. The question is whether he can regain that form next year, or if this is something that's going to stick with him. I agree with you, though. He hasn't been his normal productive self this year, and I think, you know, it's probably not coming this year either. He's probably going to need a full off season if he can get back to where he was. Obviously, Jaden's staying at quarterback, unless you're going to say he's out, so that's not a guy who's on the roster right now. I don't know how we're keeping score here. I would welcome Deebo Samuel back, but I think it feels unlikely that Deebo Samuel comes back. Your thoughts on that?
If Deami Brown got $9 million, Deebo Samuel's going to get at least $18 million. I don't think we're going to pay that. I would love for him to come back on a team-friendly deal. I don't see that happening. He's going to chase his bag. Running back's the very interesting one in my mind.
Yeah. You're giving Bill another year. He's got good raw skills. You'll stick with him and see if he can grow into your...
You told me they have to take advantage of Jaden on a rookie contract. We're running out of time here. You're going to go into next year with Bill as your starting running back?
I think there's talent there. I do. I've seen good things from him. Do you like C-Rod? Are you keeping him? Or are you tossing him back too?
I'm fine with getting rid of everyone. I don't think Eckler's going to come back and be himself. Like,
no,
you look around
no.
the league and running backs are just having success, and then you get rid of them. Like, that's just the way it goes. And so I think we might want to take, look at what Dallas did with Javonte Williams, right? Like, they just plucked him up from a team that was disappointed in his production that they drafted. Right? So, like, I think we absolutely need to improve at running back.
I'd love to bring in a running back. I don't want to use a draft pick on one because there's so many other needs up and down the board. I think tight end is an obvious replacement call here. Haven't seen enough from Ben Sinnott, and I think we're probably about at the end of the Zach Ertz run. So tight end's a big glaring need to me on the offensive board.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100% tight end, because I'm pretty much given up on Ben Sinnott by now. It's been almost two full seasons, and we haven't even seen a lick. We've seen Colson Yankoff get more production. But, like, back to the running back thing. Like, this is an Adam Peters move. I'm with you. I don't want to draft a guy. I'm keeping Bill on the roster. All right, you want to keep Rodriguez or McNichols on the roster, that's fine. But like I said, Dallas went out and grabbed a free agent running back, and he's in the top five. There's going to be another guy that becomes available that's right now probably in the top 30 that will be an option. I mean, Houston's got Nick Chubb and Woody Marks, right? So, like, there's all of them are better than Bill. I hate to say it.
You went off the Bill bandwagon really quickly here. I have zero issues with improving at that position. That's obviously a position that directly impacts the quarterback. So certainly zero issues there with getting better at something that will help make your quarterback better going into next year. We mentioned Luke McCaffrey. I would be okay with what I saw towards the end there with bringing Luke McCaffrey back as your wide receiver three, which, you know, can be a starter, not a starter, you know, kind of gray area. I feel good with what we saw before his injury.
Yes, but I think you could also improve at that position.
You're going to need at least
in terms of actual wide receiver play.
Yeah, you're going to need at least a wide receiver too, because you'll have Terry, Gap, Luke, and you'll need a depth.
I feel a lot better with Luke as
OZ.
Luke as wide receiver four, Jalen Lane as wide receiver five, with a new 2 and 3.
Yeah, 5-5 is the correct number for Lane, who, you know, unfortunate timing on his injury that led to Sanders still being in for the punt, which led to, of course, one of the worst moments there of that Madrid game. I don't know if we have time to go through the defense, but I think Bobby Wagner's done. I think Deron Payne's probably out. I think Kinlaw stays. Sanders still, I think you got to roll with, but we acknowledge he's taken a step back this year.
Yeah, it's probably six guys on defense and probably four on offense. It's just, I don't know that you can get 10 impactful players in one offseason. That's going to be the big task for Adam Peters. That's Michael Phillips, MP on the mic. Can be heard from 10 to 12 noon. I'm AWOD here on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. You can call AWOD, 833-804-0910. My goal for the end of the show today is to convince Jay Money to ride with me on the Kansas City Chiefs. Stubb made this mistake too many times. He had to pay up breakfast sandwiches after breakfast sandwich because he just didn't listen to the host. I laid it all on the line for you guys. This is the Kansas City Chiefs' last stand. The Indianapolis Colts have a bloated record because they haven't really faced anyone. They just played a good defense in the Steelers, and Daniel Jones coughed it up 3, 4, 5 times. The Chiefs' defense is criminally underrated. They will get the win. Jay Money, I'll be checking in on you here throughout the show today. I expect by 3 p.m. you to change your mind here.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
But Thursday night football last night was a banger. We're going to recap that right now by going around the National Football League with all the biggest news and notes. So the question it has to start with, does Houston have a quarterback controversy? Davis Mills has come in as the starting quarterback and won 3 games in a row. And he has appeared in 5 games this season. They are 4-1 when he's the team's starting quarterback. Look, they don't have a quarterback controversy, but it is kind of interesting that it feels like they're playing better as a team for Davis Mills than for C.J. Stroud. I don't know why that is. I think it's just more of a commitment by the coaching staff to improving on the defensive end. But, you know, they were struggling earlier this season to get consistent stops and get to consistent pressure, and that has not been the same over the last couple of games here, especially the last 2 weeks. I think their defense really won this game with the 8 sacks on Josh Allen. What were some of your takeaways, Jeremy?
Yeah, that was one of the first ones I had. It wasn't really a serious thought, but it definitely was one that crossed my mind. Should Davis Mills be the starter? I think C.J. Stroud absolutely is better than him. My other takeaway, that defense is definitely the best in football. I had some questions of whether it was them or the Eagles or maybe the Packers or the Browns, but that is the best defense in football, and it really isn't that close. The Broncos maybe throw them in that conversation as well. But the Texans absolutely dominate a really good offense, shut down Josh Allen, and they've got a chance to make the playoffs. That was really my big takeaway. Started 0-3, and they've got a chance to make the playoffs now. You were just talking about how you don't believe in the Colts in that division. They play them twice down the stretch of the season. It's not inconceivable that they could find the way to the top of that division, or if not, they're pretty in charge in that wild card with a couple tiebreakers right now.
You're already sounding like a guy that's going to pick Kansas City. I love it. Yeah, I mean, you're right. They certainly are still alive in that division with their schedule. I just, like, offensively, they need more from their quarterback. Like, as much as I said, yeah, Davis Mills has won games. Third down conversions were awful from Houston. Their offense could not get going because they really should have blown out the Bills with how good they were defensively. They held Josh Allen to 5 of 16. They forced 2 turnovers with 2 fourth down stops on Buffalo, including a couple of fumbles and the multiple interceptions that Josh Allen had, like the game-losing interception at the end of this game. I think here's the other thing for Buffalo, and look, we kind of said this coming into the game here. Like, they need to be able to run the football. But they were able to run the football last night. That's what's so interesting. Like, usually you look at the box, like, they moved the football. He threw for 250 yards. They ran it for 140. Why they only score 19 points? Because of how bad they were on third downs in this game. And to me, that was like, this is the way it worked for Buffalo. They were able to move the football with James Cook here and set up like 2nd and 5s. And then they'd get a sack and all of a sudden it's 3rd and long, right? Or on a 3rd and 5, Josh Allen would get sacked. He took too many of them. And look, this has kind of been a problem throughout Josh Allen's career. It's also what makes him special, because a lot of these times he breaks a sack and then either runs or throws it deep, right? And he keeps plays alive. But he holds on to that football forever. Forever, it felt like. And the 8 sacks definitely cost his team. And Houston gets the win 23-19. I mean, did you think after that 4th down conversion that Buffalo was going to win that game? I did.
Yeah, that 4th down conversion pissed me off to no end. Look, my biggest vendetta in football is prevent defense. I hate it with a burning passion. When you look at that play, they were off the line of scrimmage 15 yards. 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. They just gave them that for free. They did not deserve to win the game after that. But I did think they were going to win. I thought Josh Allen was going to pull some magic out. If Matt Prater hadn't missed that first extra point, it would have gone to overtime. They were well within field goal range there.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And I've always said when you play prevent defense, you prevent your team from winning the game. I don't want to go too hard on Al Michaels, because I love Al Michaels, and I think his book is terrific. And if you are a young sports fan and you want to get into sports broadcasting or hear behind the scenes, his book is a 10 out of 10. That was the lamest call on a 4th and 27 I've ever heard. Can you pull it up for me, Jeremy? I just need your audience to realize how badly he has lost his fastball. I'm watching this game, and I am screaming at my TV, "Oh, my God! Oh, my God!" And it was the lamest call on a 4th and 27. You see a 4th and 27 get converted once a year. Once a year. And it feels like it's been 2 years since we saw Travis Kelce do it for the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's Al Michael on the call.
Four-man rush again with a spy. And then you got a lateral, and it's going to be inside Texas territory with
It's just so bad. It's almost like he didn't realize that it was fourth down. I feel bad. I feel bad for everybody who's watching on Amazon Prime. There's no juice in what was the most exciting play of the season.
It sounds like he was ready for that to be the end of the game. It sounded like he was like, "Oh, it's 4th and 27. I'm going to say, and the Texans stop him, and it's done." He wasn't ready for them to convert it there.
Right. It was, "Oh, and he laterals it. Oh, and he's shy of the first down, and the Texans win." No, he got the first down easily. It was terrific play design by the Bills, and perfect execution by their wide receiver pair that pitched it to each other. Now, it ends up coming in a losing effort, but it was a terrific play. We did not hit, I don't think, one leg of our parlay, though, last night. That was pretty bad.
I think we might have gotten one. I think we might
Josh Allen didn't throw a touchdown pass, and we had two Bills touchdown props.
Yeah, no, that didn't go too well. We gotta get back in the lab for Monday.
Yeah, we do need to get back in the lab, and our bets are $10 to win a new car. That's what we're trying to do here on AWOD Radio. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. We will try to give you the updated quarterback news. There's a lot going on right now in the league. Like we said, we knew C.J. Stroud was going to be out for the Texans. Well, we just found out Jackson Dart is going to be out once again for the Giants. He's still in concussion protocol. He will miss this weekend's game against the Detroit Lions. Joe Burrow looks outstanding, is the report. Trending towards returning. How wild does this one? Practices for 2 days in a row, and Cincinnati at 3-7, grasping. Looks like Joe Burrow is going to get back to play maybe as early as this weekend. He took 100% of the team's starting reps on Thursday's practice, and according to the injury report, he was full. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. The Houston Texans pull off a gritty win to upset the Bills on Thursday Night Football. That's the lead story as we go around the NFL. Take a look at the latest news and notes. Which quarterbacks are due to start Week 12 over the weekend here on NFL Hits?
Every regular season matchup, every head coach on the hot seat, the hit stories in the NFL. NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
All right, so looking at the games to be played this weekend, I think what's interesting is, and we talked about this earlier in the week, Jeremy, the AFC playoff picture is a lot more blurry than the NFC playoff picture. And here's how to kind of make that make sense for everyone. In the AFC, there are 7 spots, but there are 10 teams currently with a 35% chance or higher at making the playoffs. And a few others that are going to grasp, like Cincinnati, like Miami, that are not completely eliminated. 10 teams. The NFC has 7 spots, and they only have 8 teams with a 35% chance or higher to make it into the playoffs. The AFC, it feels like there are 10 teams still alive, maybe even one more. The NFC, it's down to 8, maybe 9 still alive here. So a lot of that will be figured out over the weekend. Jeremy, I wanted to get your take on A.J. Brown's response to reporters about his season when he basically said, if you think I'm not the same player, Saquon's not the same either. How bad of a teammate is A.J. Brown? I mean, are you kidding me?
He is just causing problems. And I don't know if this was a new thing from being out of Tennessee or if he's used to getting that superstar treatment, but he should be used to this. He played with a superstar running back in Tennessee. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's come over him. It's that wide receiver syndrome, I guess. It is causing problems. I don't know if he's the only one that's making it toxic in that Philadelphia locker room, but something is encouraging him, and whatever that something is, it's got to stop. Otherwise, this team's going to fall apart sooner rather than later.
Kansas City against the Indianapolis Colts. The goal for my show today is to convince Jeremy to ride with me against Michael Phillips on the Chiefs -2.5. Jeremy, let me ask you a question. How many times in Patrick Mahomes' career has he lost a third consecutive regular season game?
I'm not sure, but I'm willing to guess the answer is 0.
Kansas City this season is 5-5. After beating Washington with a blowout win, their second win in a row in blowout fashion, they dropped the game against the Bills and dropped the game against the Broncos. Patrick Mahomes has never lost 3 consecutive regular season games. He's never lost 3 consecutive regular season games. They are 4-1 at home. They are awesome at Arrowhead. They've got their weapons. They've got a very underrated defense, and I think the Colts' offense, outside of Jonathan Taylor, is very overrated.
There's been a lot of firsts.
Kansas City.
There's been a lot of firsts for Kansas City this season. They had never lost three games in a row, period. But then, if you include the Super Bowl, they lost three games in a row to begin the season.
Oh, you're including the Super Bowl now? Yeah, you know what's going to be a first? The first time you buy me breakfast. Can't wait for that one to happen. How about this? Do you think the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy will be able to throw for 200-plus yards against the Packers' top 10 defense?
Yeah, I think J.J. McCarthy can hit that 200-yard number. There's been a lot of focus on him not being able to get the ball to Justin Jefferson. I think that's going to be something they focus on this week, especially with the secondary not being the greatest for the Packers right now.
Yeah, I'm all in on the Vikings to make this a game here. You know, I was the one promoting the Vikings to stay in this race in the division, and the last 2 weeks they've let me down. They might let me down a third week here. I probably wouldn't pick Minnesota to win this game, but I do think they will keep it close. I might put a little bit of cash on the Minnesota plus six in this one. How about this one on CBS Sports? They believe the Cowboys will limit the Eagles to under 50% conversion rate on the tush push for the second game in a row. Do you agree?
Not at all. I mean, I know they went and got Kenny Clark in that trade. They traded for Quinn and Williams, but the Cowboys can't stop anybody, let alone the tush push with the Eagles. That's not going to happen. No way.
I just wonder, at this point in the season, we've seen enough replays. They are false starting on the tush push. Will there be a directive from the NFL to have the officials take a closer look at that? Because that's how you stop the tush push. If a fourth and one becomes a fourth and six, then all of a sudden they don't go for it.
If it was going to happen,
that's what I'll be watching for.
If it was going to happen, it was going to happen already. Like this has been talked about since like week three of this season. It's been a long time, and they haven't changed it at all. They haven't changed the call. They haven't changed the way they're calling this play. They're just going to let this ride. I don't see a way that the Cowboys slow down this tush push of the Eagles. I know the Eagles' offensive line a little bit banged up, but that shouldn't stop them.
Yeah, I mean, that's Jalen Hurts is the best play. Quarterbacks that are going to get the start that we have our eye on this weekend, you start with Shador Sanders. And I don't know about you, Jeremy, but I am absolutely rooting for Shador. I just hate the media hate that he received. He literally proved that he would get hate this year without opening his mouth in the one time he got interviews, and he decided not to speak, and he still had people hating on him. It's so wild, the hate that this man receives just because of his last name and because of who his father is. Look, I never thought that he was that good in college, because Colorado never really won the big game with him and Travis Hunter and Deion at the helm. But I do think that he is really talented in terms of maneuvering around the pocket. That thing, it just seems like that's the first thing that stands out to me. Next thing is, he's not afraid of anything. And this is an awesome opponent for him to go against here to get his first start, because outside of Max Crosby, the Vegas Raiders are letting people go up and up and down the field on them all season long. Like, we just talked about this. Like, Michael said he doesn't credit the Cowboys for scoring 33 on the Vegas Raiders because Washington scored 41. They've been letting teams score 30-plus. In fact, they're averaging 26 points per game that they're giving up. I think Shador is going to have a really good start to his career with his first start this weekend. Joe Burrow, I don't know if I feel the same way.
Yeah, I just got an alert that it seems like it's trending back towards Joe Flacco playing, Joe Burrow's making progress, it seems. I was all in on Joe Burrow starting today, or on Sunday, but it seems like it's swinging back towards Joe Flacco right now.
Yeah, because what happened? He's just being listed as questionable right now. That's the thing. Why are you being listed as questionable when you practice full 2 days in a row? That's kind of the bit they did with Jaden, where they held him out for one more week. If you're holding out Joe Burrow for one more week, your season might be over the following week. I get it. They want to be extra cautious and make sure that, you know, he had this, you know, freak toe injury, that he's fully healthy. But it seemed like an hour and a half ago he was trending towards definitely playing. Lamar Jackson was on the injury report with an ankle injury. He'll be good to go, and Jameis Winston will get the start for the New York Giants. I am kind of excited for that. I've always been a fan of Jameis Winston, one of the best interviews we've had on this show when I grabbed him last year at the Super Bowl. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So we touched on the NFL games, but we will give out our certified NFL Game of the Week coming up at 2 p.m. We'll take a look at all the weekend action in college football and college basketball, like VCU has a home game Saturday against Coppin State. And we'll be joined by Moneyline Mac to give out some best bets for college football when we return here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Welcome back. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. New rule on Fridays. We roll, broadcasting live from River City Roll here in Scott's Edition. You can come by, check out the show. Bowling is incredible, but also the pizza's banging, the wings are good. They got so many good things on the menu. I love the food here at River City Roll, and they got the heated patio, which is awesome during these winter months. Heading out to the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline right now, it's Moneyline Mac. What's up, Mac?
Hey, well, what's up, man? Happy Football Friday. Hey, we got college hoops too, man.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much going on here in the sports world. You know, we've been arguing all week long about the bracket that was revealed in the top 25 for the CFP. What was your spit take reaction?
That the games kind of don't matter to a certain degree. I mean, when you got, well, just for example, right off the top, Miami beat Notre Dame, and they're four spots behind them, and they're talking about the quality of loss as well. Miami doesn't have the opportunity to lose to Miami, so I don't know really what they're talking about.
And how about with JMU? Do you like their chances, or are they going to be screwed for an American team?
We'll talk about it here in a minute. I think there's some trip-up spots in the American, but I do think JMU is getting completely disrespected. They have one loss on the year at Louisville, which is a tough place to play. A game they had a second-half lead, and the game kind of got away from them lately. But anybody that watched that game and the game flow knows that that was a game, and they looked the part. I think that they should be in over a two-loss American team, definitely over a three-loss American if Tulane were to stumble here in the last two games.
And, of course, the big story locally, James Franklin hired at Virginia Tech. I really haven't found anyone that said much things negative about this hiring.
It's a home run hire. They couldn't have done any better. I don't think that the teams at LSU, Florida, that haven't hired a coach yet, I don't think they're going to hire somebody better than James Franklin. Yes, the knock was he couldn't beat Ohio State and Michigan. But when you win 8-9 games every year, 10 games, heck, I think Virginia Tech fans will gladly take that on. And the ACC is not as strong as the Big Ten up top as well. He recruits the area well. And another thing about Franklin, everybody talks about how he didn't have a lot of playoff success. They expanded the playoff just last year. If they had had the 12-team playoff for his entire tenure, he would have had six more playoff appearances. Heck, they might have backdoored their way into a national championship for all we know.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right about that. He was a consistent winner at Penn State. All right, there's a ton of elimination games in my mind this weekend. Let's start with the big one. And your thoughts if this is truly an elimination game, USC against Oregon in the Big Ten.
It's definitely an elimination game for USC. USC's got to have the game if they want any hope. But, I mean, you look at it, they have two losses. Oregon's got one. Oregon's resume is not very good when you really dive into it. But they only have one loss. I think if Oregon gets this game, they're pretty much going to be in. I can't really see, even if they drop the Washington game, I can't see them leaving out a 10-2 Oregon team. We could see chaos if USC were to go into Oregon. But with that said, I never take Lincoln Riley on the road, and I will lay the points with the Ducks in the Northwest. It's going to be cold, windy weather. I think Oregon controls the line of scrimmage. I think USC is a little bit soft in fool's gold.
All right, let's move over to another game that I'm really interested in Pitt against Georgia Tech. And, you know, we were talking about this game earlier, and I'm taking Haynes King and Georgia Tech to win this one because I lost all faith in Pitt with the fact that they just no-showed last week. I can't believe their head coach came out and said that game didn't matter. When you had a top 10 opponent you're playing against, of course it matters.
Yeah, it always matters. And I get his point to a certain degree, but you don't say that. You play to win the game, and I think that sets the momentum and the tone for this game. I think if they had played well last week and they just lost to Notre Dame because Notre Dame's better, I would feel differently about it. Obviously, I am a West Virginia guy, so I enjoy watching Pitt lose. But I'm gonna be on Georgia Tech with you. I think you hit the nail on the head. I trust Haynes King in this final game at Bobby Dodd, potentially here against the freshman quarterback in prime time. And I just love Brent Key, man. I think that you would never hear him say something along the lines of, if we lose by 100, it doesn't matter. He's a football guy through and through. He played their offensive line. I think Georgia Tech punches their ticket to the ACC championship here.
All right, let's get your two best bets. We've got Moneyline Mac with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline.
All right, so yeah, number one, it's going to be, I think we're going to see some American chaos tomorrow, and I think it's going to start with ECU. ECU's only got one loss in the league. I think that it turns into two. UTSA has not lost a home game under Jeff Traylor in 5 years there in the Alamo Dome. I like them as a short home dog there, getting 2.5. And the other one, give me Temple over Tulane. I see that you get Temple up there in Philly. Those teams from the South don't like playing in the cold weather, going up to Philly. I know it's a little bit of a sleepy spot at the Eagle Stadium. Nobody really goes to those games. But Casey Keeler's had a great job in year one. They're off a bye week. I think they're ready to rock and roll. They're getting 9.5. I think that they have a shot to knock off Tulane, and maybe JMU can backdoor into this college football playoff.
Do you like Virginia Tech plus 18.5? Hosting Miami with all the momentum we talked about? Franklin's talked about how many recruits are going to be in that building. We know that place will be rocking. I think there's a bit of a revenge from last year losing in the Hail Mary to Miami. I think I would lay the 18.5.
You mean take the 18.5?
Take the points.
Yeah. I love Virginia Tech this weekend getting 18.5. Mario Cristobal. Now we're getting into the late stages of the season. High-pressure game for Miami. It's going to be Miami traditionally has not been good in November on the road when they get out of the state of Florida. This is only their second game all year out of the state of Florida, which is crazy when you think about it, since we're on November 22nd tomorrow. But, yeah, I like the Hokies here getting the 18.5. I think it's a ball game. And like you said, this is a long rivalry. Throw out the records here. Virginia Tech, Super Bowl tomorrow.
SMU hosting Louisville. A few weeks ago, Louisville was one of the top teams in the ACC and looked like they had a chance to be in the CFP. Then they lost to Cal, then they lost to Clemson.
Yeah, I know. They've kind of faltered here. And last year, this was the game that SMU really got their season going. They went to Louisville, got it done, and they never looked back, got to the college football playoff year one. I like the revenge here. I like Louisville. I'll buy the dip here. Love taking Jeff Brohm as a dog. They're getting, a field goal here. I think Louisville picks off SMU down there in Dallas.
All right, back to, the college football playoffs. Is there a game that we've missed that you think could really affect the rankings?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, there are trap games. I mean, Texas is still somewhat mathematically in play. They have Arkansas. Vanderbilt still is mathematically in play. They got Kentucky. Both of those teams are laying less than 10 points. The other one, I guess, Michigan, they got to win the last two against Maryland and Ohio State to get in. If they trip up against Maryland, then they're definitely going to be out. But I think the game that I'm looking at is in the late window. BYU, one loss, going to Cincinnati. Cincinnati all of a sudden stumbling here in the Big 12. BYU's got to have this game if they want to stay in contention. I think an 11-1 BYU should get in the college football playoff, but we'll see because there's definitely an SEC and Big Ten bias.
Yeah, let's go through a few of these teams here that are behind the cut line, right? Like Michigan, what a win against Maryland and then a big win against Ohio State. A 10-2 Michigan with a win against the number one team in the country be into the CFP.
Yes. There's no way they're going to leave out Michigan in that brand if they beat Ohio State at 10-2.
Yeah. So then who are they taking out? Is it Notre Dame? Is it an 8-2 Oklahoma? I mean, someone's going to have to be eliminated, and I think it might end up being either a SEC team or I guess the Big 12 would be limited to one.
Yeah, it would be the Big 12 because they can't take Oklahoma out because Oklahoma beat Michigan head-to-head in week two.
Yeah.
I think it would be Big 12. It would be a Big 12 one-loss team. That's what's fascinating. You got USC, Michigan, and Texas, all those big brands knocking on the door. I mean, heck, even Vanderbilt. I mean, if Vanderbilt goes 10-2, it's hard to say that they shouldn't be in the playoff.
Yeah. And then Miami. What's going to happen if they win out but miss the ACC title game because it's Georgia Tech, Virginia? And then they have the exact same record as Notre Dame, and just like Notre Dame, they both don't play in a championship game.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to expand the playoff again.
It's happening. It's going to be a 16 before we know it.
Well, the problem is these conference championships, or just these conferences, are too big now. Yeah, when you're playing 18 teams, there's 18 teams in your league, 17 teams and 16 teams. Nobody's playing the same schedule, so you don't get to see a true champion in these leagues. So that's what's difficult, and that's why it's ironic that we actually have a head-to-head with Miami and Notre Dame, but they're choosing to ignore it.
Yeah, well, that's what's just driving me crazy. And I've said, like, in every other sport, the same record they would turn to head-to-head. I think in the NFL, it's obvious. In college basketball, I'm pretty sure if it was VCU and like a BYU with the exact same record, but BYU had beat VCU, they would be in. For some reason in football, it's like, oh, but look at the body of work, or the date of the game matters, which is so stupid. That's why I told Michael earlier, what will the committee say if the ACC bookends with a win week one, Florida State over Alabama, and now they're ignoring that game, but if Georgia Tech beats Georgia, will the ACC get the respect? Because it just doesn't seem like they will.
Yeah, I mean, the Alabama-Florida State one is hilarious that they're choosing to ignore that one, because that wasn't a fluke win. That wasn't a Florida State one on a walk-off field goal, crazy game. No, they dominated that game from the line of scrimmage, and that was not a fluke. And so, the fact that they just have chosen to ignore that one and pretty much just crown Alabama until they finally lost this last week, I had issues with that, and I don't know if I'm speaking for you as well. I don't even like Miami. I've never been a Miami fan, but like, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that they're four spots behind Notre Dame, and here I am defending the U.
Yeah, I'm defending the conference more than the U. But yeah, it is crazy because I've always like respected Miami, but never been a fan. Let me get your thoughts on this. When the bracket is revealed, number of teams from each conference, ACC 1, Big 12 1, SEC, Big 10, what are your thoughts?
I'm a Big 12 guy. I hope it's 2, but I think it's going to be 1. I think you'll get 1 from each, 1 Big 12, 1 ACC, 1 G5, so that's 9, 1 Notre Dame, so that's 8, 3 Big 10, 5 SEC.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do think the 5 SEC to 3 Big 10 makes sense this year, because Penn State's so bad, and that's like everybody's big win. Mac, always appreciate it, man. Thanks. Good stuff, dude.
Appreciate it, AWOD. Enjoy your weekend, man.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.